From the BBC World Service, this is the documentary. I'm Stephen Coates, and we're in Tunisia for a most unusual competition, the High Speed Telegraphy World Championship, or transmitting and receiving Morse code. So I'm standing on a mosaic floor, the vast circle, and it's in the lobby of this hotel, which is like a labyrinth. And in some of the rooms on various levels are teams from around the world. They've gathered here today, and some of them are already fiendishly practicing and setting up their equipment.
My name is Ashraf Shaban. We are here for worldwide high-speed telegraphy competition. First time in Africa and first time in Arab country. We are in Hammamet city, in the northern part of Tunisia, a bit south of capital Tunis.
Ashraf has been working night and day to organise this unusual competition.
We're super excited about having the people here. Most of the people, it's their first time in Tunisia, even the first time in Africa as well. We don't sleep because of the excitement. Before it was like months away, then weeks, and then a few days to a few hours away. And now we are here and receiving competitors and visitors from worldwide.
This is the first time I've been to a Morse code competition. Morse is an alphabet made up of dots and dashes. It was invented by an American artist, Samuel Morse, in the 1830s. Morse set out to design a system of sending messages much more quickly than the post. His code was first transmitted along cables, but can be sent via sound waves, light signals, radio, even by touch or vibration. Morse code changed the world. It was the first global instant communication used by every nation on Earth, before the telephone, before the satellite, and long before the internet. We're just about to head up a spiral staircase which winds up into this vast space overlooked by balconies. Right, we're approaching a double door here.
My call sign is Zulu Alpha 1 Foxtrot. Fatos, I am. Fatos. I am from Albania.
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 Natalia.
Where are you from?
Russia.
So you should transmit with this electronic.
No,
how many on the Croatian team?
Three of us.
Just the three of you? Yeah. Okay, right. Are you going to win?
No.
No, we're going to lose badly.
We're going to lose badly?
Yeah, but it's fun.
The competition is about decoding the Morse code messages and also sending the Morse code messages. So it's about the ability of the competitor to concentrate, to try and listen very carefully.
Belarus, Russia, and Romania. Three are very good champions.
Belarus are always winning. Romania as well, Hungary, they're really, really top teams.
Eastern European countries do well, I think, because many have children's clubs specialising in Morse and shortwave radio transmission, a legacy perhaps of their communist past, when youth organisations promoted scientific hobbies. It's usually they who organise the competitions. Russia and Belarus still have government-sponsored teams.
My name is Anastasia, and I'm from Belarus.
How old are you, Anastasia?
I'm 21. I hope to win some gold medals.
So everybody tells us that Belarus are going to win and that you always win. Is that right?
Yeah. I predict that we will win.
So make sure you win, because that's going to be really embarrassing if you don't.
Yeah. We win. You'll see.
The competitors are of all ages. We just met a man of 86. And if you think Anastasia is young, wait till you meet the Romanian team. They're just out of a long warm-up and straight into the hotel pool, fringed with lounges and palm trees.
My name is Ioana Scutaru. I'm the world champion
I'm attempting again the world record that I made last year. I'm trying to beat my own record.
Anis, would you tell us when you first began to learn Morse?
Oh, like 7. Yeah, I just turned 7. I learned Morse in like 3 weeks.
So do you practice each day in, at home?
After I arrive home from school, we gotta put the hard work in to get the results. I said, greetings from Tunisia. It's my first time in Africa, and I love it. Like, I'm very excited.
Yeah, good luck, Yanis.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. See you later and see how you get on in the competition. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Like, try to do every type of the exercise, like transmitting, receiving. It takes me over 3 hours every day. Yeah.
You spend 3 hours a day?
Yeah.
The Belarusian team is 20 strong. Each contender smartly turned out in an ice blue tracksuit with several changes of kit, matching tops and scarves. Most of them are young women, including lightning fast Anya.
Anya is the best woman in the world. She has won like almost all of the championships. In our like Belarusian reality, women are stronger maybe, and we have like more competition inside like Belarus than men do, and we have more competitors.
When I heard there was an international world championship in Morse code, I never would have imagined that it would have been here on the north coast of Africa. The sun's gone down, the moon's up, it's a beautiful balmy evening. The bougainvillea's out, lovely colours. Very pleasant breeze, I have to say, after a hot day, and nice to be outside of the intensity of the hotel.
A lot of the guys that are here, really old friends of us, through the radio waves, once they get to know you, they become real friends, brothers, and they call you brother, and I really appreciate this a lot. I mean, we all speak that same language.
Ashraf isn't only a competitor and the organizer. He's part of a community of amateurs that connect with each other via Morse and shortwave radio all over the world. That magical sense of connection across cultures and languages, like handshakes across the airwaves, dates back to the early days of radio.
So we are doing something that people back in the 50s, 40s and before were using. With a little power, transmitting power, you can reach faraway signals. You can get in touch with Hawaii or New Zealand, which are on the other part of the world for Tunisia, so 20,000 kilometers.
Ashraf keeps huge radio antennas in his olive grove at home, and from there he reaches out across the globe.
And sometime you don't know who's going to call you back, and you don't have clear idea of where your signal is, which distances your signal is reaching. All of a sudden you come up with a very distant country that you never contacted. This is a big excitement that would last for the whole day. I jump off the chair, sometimes start dancing, sometimes, okay, I look at my wife, let's go for dinner, let's go. So what? I cannot be happier than when I contact a new country, and my wife knows how I feel about it.
Day two, I am surrounded by a gaggle of people in different coloured shirts. We've got the Russians in white. The temperature outside the hotel, has gone up quite a lot. It's a warm day, and the temperature inside the hotel has definitely gone up. It's a lot less relaxed than yesterday. We've just spotted the sole Japanese competitor walking by, and the sole Kuwaiti, who's come with a delegation of two. But some of the other teams are quite large. The Romanians in their bright yellow team uniforms are circulating around. One's rushing past right at the moment, looking quite intense, actually, heading for the competition space. Morning, Yanis. How are you?
Very good.
Feeling relaxed about today?
Yeah. 100% confident.
Guys, how are you feeling?
Good, really good.
Good, very confident?
Yeah.
Cool.
This is November 5 Radio Yankee, W1NCY, PY3, PA probably, Radio Alpha 1 Alpha Radio.
André Schock is one of the referees. He's prepping the room for the transmission tests. Each competitor waits nervously for their turn outside and then brings in their own Morse key, a small box with a lever that they flip backwards and forwards to signal the dots and the dashes. The competitors have to transmit text into dots and dashes live. The text is meaningless, just gibberish spewed out by a computer. This is all about speed.
How fast was that?
That was 200 signs a minute.
Is that fast?
So this was pretty slow. And the top people, like Yanis, they are at a speed of about 1,000. Sounds like this. Here it is. I can't distinguish this.
We can hear that. It was like an electronic blip. Are you saying that Yanis could interpret that and he could hear that noise?
Yes, he did it several times.
Wow.
My name is Lucian. I'm a part of the Romanian national team.
Lucian Kojicaru trains the younger Romanians, including Yanis.
Especially, we're looking for kids that have abilities to sing or to play an instrument. They learn Morse code very fast. They use it very fast. When Yanis was a little kid, he loved to play a violin. The ability to understand the sound and the way he was playing the violin, even his teacher was very impressed. And now we can see that he understands Morse code more like a music, more like something played. So for him, that's logical. Doesn't matter the speed, it matters the way of the music in his head. He likes, in the rap music, singers that are playing really, are speaking words very, very, very fast. Technically, in radio waves, still Morse code is the fastest way in the world to communicate, because it's like communicated in the speed of light.
The skill of Yanis, Anastasia, and many people here is phenomenal. Morse to them is a language. They don't need to think or translate. They just understand and speak it. You have to wonder how all this might be used in the world outside competitions. After all, Morse exists because it was needed. It guided aeroplanes. It saved lives on ships. When I think of Morse, I think of the last haunting messages sent from the Titanic ocean liner as it sank in 1912. But with all the technology we have nowadays, is Morse still a way to communicate?
You're listening to the documentary from BBC.
As Yanis says, this is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Hello everyone, my name is Ankit Kumar. I'm 20 years old.
Ankit Kumar is a technology student in Odisha in eastern India. One day, when he was ill and stuck in bed, He taught himself Morse code from a YouTube video just for fun. Back in college, Ankit got together with some friends and won a tech competition with their project, an ingenious device that uses Morse to help people with speaking difficulties. They called it Silent Speak.
So there is around 12.8 million people in India who are not able to speak properly, communicate properly in day-to-day lives. So we are helping these people with our project. So our device, it's in the form of ring, and there's a speaker. You will type the Morse code on the ring. Their ring has sensors. Ring will take this input and the output, the phrase you want to say, it will be output through the speaker.
That's a ring you'd wear on your finger that you can tap using Morse. It's translated into speech by a miniature computer and sounds out via pocket speaker.
Before using it, you will learn the Morse code. That's the first step. Spend like 1 or 2 weeks learning Morse. That's very easy to learn Morse. There is like 28 languages in India. So we have different Morse code for different languages. Let's say he wants to speak in Hindi. So he will learn in Hindi and then he will type it in a Hindi and it will come through output in Hindi.
तो अभी आपने जो सुना वो एक्चुअली में एक कोड था जिसका मतलब था हे
So, if I couldn't communicate in speech, or perhaps if I'm deaf and I want to go to the market to buy some fruit, I could tap on my ring using Morse code, and what I would like to say would sound out of the speaker and communicate with the shopkeeper. The Silent Speak software will translate the Morse code message into whatever language the speaker wants.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
What are the advantages of Morse code? Because, Ankit, we live in a world where there is SMS messages, where there's email, where there are all sorts of other ways of communicating. So tell us, what are the advantages of Morse code?
So, first of all, it is very faster than today's technology, like SMS. You need to just tap on the finger, the ring he is wearing. It's like fractions of second you can decode and encode. And it don't take like internet or something to transfer.
So could somebody who's blind use it?
Yes.
Silent Speak is still in the development phase, but Ankit and his team hope to get the funding to bring it to market soon. It's the simplicity of Morse code that makes Silent Speak possible. It's a binary code, just dot and dash. And that means it's super accessible. Flexible.
Tash, when you started to control the boats yourself using your breath, right, how long did that take you to learn how to do that?
Not long. At all.
Natasha Lambert in the UK was born with severe cerebral palsy, which limits her ability to move and speak. Her mother, Amanda, helps her communicate. The rattling you hear is her wheelchair. Natasha's father, Gary, has adapted a Morse-based system called Sip and Puff, which translates the dot and dash of Morse into an inhalation, the sip, and an exhalation, the puff.
Yeah, Tash sails using a tube. It's got a helmet and it attaches to a connection down here. So dependent on what you do, either you blow or you sip, is a different action. And she uses her tongue to flick the switch and that changes the function.
By sipping and puffing, Natasha could steer a boat left or right and adjust the sails tighter or looser.
A lot of the information we were given when Tash was small was that don't expect her to be able to do anything. So for her to get to the stage where she can sail a boat is absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, it's really indescribable. And she loves doing it as well. She loves throwing the boat around. Yeah, the more she can throw it around, the happier she is. I mean, me and Mandy had originally considered that Natasha being able to perhaps sail up and down a river here would be the end goal. If she could sail up and down a river, we thought we've really cracked it.
Natasha did better than that. She ended up sailing across the Atlantic with her family and carers using Gary's sip and puff devices.
I am hoping to cross the Pacific.
Yeah.
Natasha would love to cross the Pacific. We will be looking into it, won't we? We need to take advice and do lots of planning and see whether it will be possible in the future.
When you started to sail, how did it make you feel?
Free.
It's 10:30 and things are definitely heating up. We've just come out of the women's transmitting section of the competition. It's like a big exam hall, I suppose, with four rows of desks, each with two laptops and keyboards on it. And things got a bit tense in there for a while, actually, so we've decided to come out and let them get on with it. Astia, how did it go?
So I did my best, but unfortunately I appear to be without medal. We were nervous and then the tension became bigger. My arms were shaking, like, how to say, very nervous.
Ashraf has been competing today too. He's representing Tunisia, of course. He didn't make one of the top scores. Tunisia doesn't have the competitive Morse culture that the Eastern Europeans have. But, he told us, Morse code as a means of communication still has its own role in North Africa.
When all communications go down because of a natural disaster or whatever, amateur radio with just a car battery, your transceiver, a simple wire antenna, you still can make contact.
Morse came into its own here in 2014.
We had the opportunity to support people when the war escalated in Libya, and a lot of refugees came into the southern part of Tunisia, and they have no means to communicate with their families in Libya and Egypt or Sudan or the countries. So the radio amateurs, with the skills they have, they can set up very simple equipment. We established a link through Tunis to Cairo through radio. We sent the messages. These messages came from this person to this person. We said that he's okay or he needs something. And this was relayed via radio to Cairo. And from Cairo, the guys there looked after transmitting the message to the concerned people.
As the competition draws to a close, we can see that Anastasia was right. Belarus did win, medal after medal, bronze, silver, but mostly gold. As the beautiful dusk fell over the sea on the edge of North Africa, the Belarusian national anthem rang out over and over again. Anastasia, despite all her nerves, was declared the champion of the women competitors.
I won the first place and I'm really happy. It's great. You know that everything you've been doing is worth it. Yeah.
And as for that world record, yes, he did it. By decoding a message of over 1,000 characters a minute, a speed I can't even hear properly, let alone make sense of.
How did you feel when you became the world champion?
Unimaginable happiness. Like,
It's time to say goodbye. And the competitors head off back into their other lives in Minsk and Tirana and Tokyo. But, they say, once you've heard the rhythm of Morse code, you can never quite unhear it. It becomes the rhythm of the world itself.
For us, when we walk on the street, automatically our brain translates sounds and noises into characters, sometimes even words.
When you hear some sounds that are not really Morse code sounds, but the pattern looks like a Morse code, like cars beeping or something. Or when you listen to some songs with some Morse codes hidden in it to add some, I don't know, magic to the song.
One final question for you, Ash, okay? Which is that, do you have a dream in Morse?
After a 48 hours competition, sleepless competition, with all the hallucinations that follow, I keep hearing Morse code even when I'm awake. I'm always looking behind me for anyone doing Morse code. Who is that?
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. Morse Code, Ready to Transmit, was presented by me, Stephen Coates. The producer was Monica Whitlock. It's a Storyscape production for BBC World Service.